What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I am Jack Allen. First, can you go follow me on Twitter at Kojak Podcast? We're slowly rebuilding that account. If you can go follow me on Instagram at Conspiracy or JAC. And also, if you could subscribe to me on YouTube, that would be greatly appreciated because I'm trying to get to 1,000 subscribers and then I can do like super chats and stuff like that. And each show we get a little more, few more listeners, which is awesome. I love seeing people in the chat, and I'm posting the show right now. So people, as I always say this, cause I got to do it on my phone. You know, I'm afraid to go on. If anyone knows the answer, if I can go on Twitter now with my regular IP address, it would be greatly appreciated. But I just am worried if I do that, then it'll like send like alarm bells off in Twitter.com. People will be like running in the halls like, Jack Allen is back. He's ban evading, and they'll find me and kick me off again. And as much as Twitter sucks, you know, you like that's where you get the news and you find out everything's there first. So I don't want to risk it. But if anyone knows that answer, if they've evaded bans before, I would love to know if it's just the phone number thing or if it's the IP address that gets blocked. But anyway, news, I hate doing current events. I don't really care. Joe Rogan left Spotify. Jack Allen, if you guys didn't hear, he left Spotify, aka me. I'd switched my podcast. So if you start hearing ads in the show, it's because I switched to Spreaker. And what I'm going to do now is if you go join the Patreon, or even if like you donate to the show and you want, I'll add you on the Patreon and I'll put all the no ad stream shows on there so you don't have any ads. But the lady, William Ramsey, shout out to good old Will, get his books, great guy. He hooked me up with Spreaker and they told me that the ads are like really short, like 6-second ads. So they're in the beginning and the end and like one or two in the middle. But let me know. I know it's going to be annoying, but you know, you get it. I get like paid pennies, but it's on Anchor. You know, I made money for the Anchor ad. And, but yeah, if you support like the Patreon or people send me Venmos and stuff, I can just add you to the Patreon and I'll start putting unadded clips there. And I left Spotify because Anchor, where I did my podcast, that's owned by Spotify. And I don't know if you guys on Twitter, I retweeted, but the ADL, the ADL, my favorite organization, the ADL put out like how they went over Spotify's guidelines and how there's lots of room to be, you know, anti-Semitic. And they've stretched that just like the word racist, just like saying Trump is literally Hitler. They stretch that to anything and it's exhausting and infuriating, but I don't want that. I don't want to deal with that stuff. So I switched my podcast, perfect timing. I saw that tweet today. I was like, I made the right decision. And not that I have like a huge platform or anything, but I want to be left alone. I love doing this. I don't want to be bothered by losing episodes and getting kicked off of stuff. Haramli says the ADL never lied. You're right. They have never. Obviously, we are joking. All right. So this is a real fun episode. I'm excited to do it. The last one was part one. I felt like it was kind of slow. But this one is wild. We got lots of awesome conspiracy candy to talk about. But if you didn't watch the last one, basically we just kind of talked about how Hitler came into power with being funded by Wall Street. I posted that meme where it's like the lady and the husband lying in bed and the lady's like, he's probably thinking about other women. And then I made the guy say, why would the bankers fund Hitler in the Third Reich to remove him a few years later? But, and we're going to talk about that tonight as well. So we talked about that. We talked about how they were just so far technologically advanced than anybody in the world. I mean, they were miles ahead of the United States and America. They probably invented the nukes. They were probably, if nukes are real, it was created by the Nazis. We talked about this submarine at the end of the war that went missing that had like 200,000 pounds on this sub. And it sailed in secretly. It was sailed into like Maine. It got unloaded, and then they came in. They truly surrendered, and then the government manifest, totally fraudulent. Two different ones. One has this uranium that was on the ship. The other one, the easily accessible one, was not on the ship. So we talked about that. We even talked about the bell or the Glock. The Glock? The Nazi like UFO ship and how they were creating so like they're so far advanced, guys, that it's not that it's weird that right after World War II ends is when you know, you heard about how like American pilots were seeing balls of light following their ships at uncanny speeds. And then after World War II ends, that is when the UFO epidemic or sightseeing goes crazy. And I don't believe in aliens. I don't think they exist. In my mind, they do not exist, but it would make a lot more sense if the Nazis were playing around with this technology. They created these new ships, these saucer ships, and the United States got that technology. And that's why all over the world, starting in like 1947, you know, conveniently 2 years after the war, UFO sightings happened worldwide. And then last episode was the occult significance in Nazi Germany. The occult was big everywhere. I mean, our founding fathers were into it. Ben Franklin was banging prostitutes dressed as nuns to be as like anti-Christian as possible. The Hellfire Club, they were in caves. Ben Franklin had all these little dead bodies in his basement when they bear like 12. And the Ben Franklin stands defended him saying, oh no, he was doing science on them. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure the founding father, Ben Franklin, you know, he was doing science projects. And then he said, you know what? Do you want to get rid of this body? Just bury it in my basement. Smell? I don't care. Right? Doesn't make any sense. But this occult group that ran Nazi Germany, a lot of these guys came over into NASA, which is why we see science and NASA intelligence always being hand in hand. FBI thought Adolf was alive as late as 1950s. Actively searched for him. Carl, I bet he, yeah, I don't think he died. I can't remember Hitler's evidence per se, but another top guy, like, I think we'll talk about it later, but not Goring, but one of those guys, I think Bormann, they claim Bormann died at the end of World War II. The way they said he died. Oh, well, they found, I'm not exaggerating. The skeleton, there was two bodies. They found, yeah, Bormann, Carl. And but I'm pretty sure Martin Bormann. And they found two skeletons and they brought in Bormann's dentist from his years earlier in life. And he went by memory of Bormann's dental, what his teeth looked like. And that's how he was identified. So we can see not solid evidence. You know, eyewitness testimony is bad enough. Going by a dentist and what he remembers your teeth look like isn't solid. But anyway, so let's get started with today. We're going to start with treasure right away. Templar treasure. So it starts with this guy, Otto Scorinzi. He was like 6'4", you know, top commando. He was one of Mustache Man's bodyguards. He gets hurt in Russia, sent back in 42. He was down, but he was not out. And he was this like daring guy, you know, pretty amazing story. He rescued Mussolini in this coup in Italy, which secured them as an ally, you know, pretty like badass guy in the sense of military prowess. But in 1944, he took a different type of mission and he went to the village of René La Chateau, which is also dealing with the Holy Blood, Holy Grail. I don't know if anybody remembers the Da Vinci Code. The Da Vinci Code, though not, obviously it's a fiction book, it was based off of Holy Blood, Holy Grail, which these two, we're gonna get into that. My mouth's drill dry, I'm sorry, one sec. So he goes to France. Why was he there, right? Well, there was this German occult author, Otto Rahn, and he was fascinated by the Holy Grail, the Cathars. And the Cathars, for anybody that doesn't know, I read Holy Blood, Holy Grail, like 70% of it. And then it got, I was like, I don't believe this. Because they wrote it in like 2000. They said the Merovingians were coming back into power. I was reading it in 2020. Clearly, they were wrong. So I had to stop because I was like, dude, you keep saying like the whole book, you're leading up that they're coming to power. They didn't. They never came back. But Otto Rahn was fascinated with this stuff. The Cathars, they were these Christians who opposed the Roman Church and got slaughtered in the Albigensian Crusade. Basically, though, they were like Gnostic, and the Templars were from the same area as these Cathars, like Jacques de Molay, all these guys. And the Cathars and descendants, many of them became Templars. So they were even there before the Templars were created. And Rahn published his book, Crusade Against the Grail, in 1933, the same year that Hitler came to power. And as we just discussed before, Himmler and all these top-ranked Nazi dudes, huge interest in the occult. They all loved Rahn. They wanted to find out more about this secret treasure, because who doesn't want to find out more about secret treasure? And they knew, Rahn had this theory that it was all hidden in this Cathar fortress in France. So he believed he identified where the Holy Grail, the Ark of the Covenant, huge Templar treasures were all at this location. So very exciting, right? The Nazis love the occult. There is power in these artifacts from Jesus and the Old Testament. So in 1939, Rahn has been searching for it. And so he either died in a snowstorm or committed suicide by cyanide for occult reasons. Two wildly different ways of dying. I don't know how Jim Mars came up with those two. They're nowhere in what way related, but his knowledge lived on in these top Nazi circles. So basically the Nazis are literally treasure hunting for King Solomon's riches, like National Treasure. Isn't that the movie with Nicolas Cage? I can't do his accent, but it's that they talk about, like this huge Templar treasure. And it's exactly like that. Like these riches, it was so like Rahn built this up, and whether this is true or not, it was built up like the treasures from Mesopotamia, from every single ancient culture was in this hoard of wealth. And not only gold and physical treasure, esoteric knowledge from every ancient mystery school, every secret society since recorded history, like Phoenicians, all this stuff. There were cylinders of supposedly Sumerian tablets, everything that's been lost to time or purposely hidden. Like Tartarian technology or how to build, like Freemason knowledge, all that stuff. And that's at least what Rahn and the Nazis believed existed in this Cathar fortress. Emerald tablets of Thoth, Pythagoras. I keep listing this like I'm done, and then I keep listing more. That is it. That it's all this stuff. All this information existed in this treasure, supposedly. So this is the story of what Rahn told everybody else. So the treasure of the gold supposedly fell into Roman hands after the sacking of Jerusalem in 66 AD. Solomon's temple was then built over by King Herod's. The treasure was buried beneath Herod's palace. And in 132, another revolt, the Romans take the easily found treasure. They go back, and then Rome collapses. The Visigoths get the treasure. So basically, though, it was a compilation of 1,000 years of treasure. It all ended up back up in the Pyrenees Mountains of France. And the Visigoths, they landed there. They became the Cathars. It went Visigoths, Franks, Cathars. And Cathars means pure ones, and which I took note, that's, you know, pretty similar to like illuminated ones, pure ones, illuminated ones. I don't know if that's a stretch, but they believe that their beliefs were more pure than that of the Church of Rome, which Church of Rome, I don't even want to comment. You know what I think about the Catholic institution, not the faith, but they had Druids in the Cathar religion or Cathar sect, Gnostic beliefs, earth worship, paganism, really like Western Buddhism, which, pretty much like what we have now. If you're in like the right wing side of Twitter, you'll see that this is coming back in a big way. People, you know, you should eat healthy. You should eat organic or whatever you want to call it. But this energy and like sun worship is definitely coming back in a huge way. And I worry that that's leading to theosophy. That is the goal of creating this new age, combining with Christianity to suck people in that know what's going on is wrong and to go back to your ancestors, blah, blah, blah. But that's what the Cathars believed. And many Cathars made up the Frus Crusade, as I said earlier. They like started the Knights Templar, the OG, the OGs, the first nine, they were Cathars, and they started the Knights Templar. They got even more hidden stuff under, yes, we steals Plato snakes. He said, yep, Age of Aquarius, Gaia propagandist. Bingo, dude, bingo. But so the first nine Templars, they were Cathars. As you know, they go to King Solomon's Temple. I did an episode about them, and there was tons of underground tunnels there. Hugh de Payne's, all these guys. So all this treasure that the Romans missed, the good stuff, the real good stuff, was buried deep. You know, you wouldn't keep that out. If you've been sacked once, hopefully you don't make the same mistake again and just leave the most expensive and dangerous knowledge, if you will, you know, sitting at the front door. So all this gold, all this knowledge, when the Crusades and the Templars leave, they all go back to the Lando region and the fabled Friday the 13th, when King Philip in 1307, he owed all the money to the Templars, and him and Pope Clement said, that's it. We owe them too much. Kill them. Let's get their money. So they sent out, you know, the papal bull. And that morning, that's why Friday the 13th is bad luck for anybody that doesn't know. It's because the Templars on that day were slaughtered, or a lot of them, but because they were a secret society, many got out. King Philip, whether it's a win or not, never got any gold. He got nothing. They moved it all. So they either knew it was coming or they had it very well hidden. Some say they went to Scotland with Robert de Bruce. Some became pirates. That's why you have the skull and bones, because Templar story, like his wife was dead and they found her body and she had two femurs and a skull, and they became pirates and they used that as the flag. That's why you get the pirates and the, and then also there's some that say they come back, they went to America, like that Skull Island or whatever show on History Channel. Every Templar enclave found usually filled with human skulls, just like the French catacombs bear. Very interesting. We steals Plato snakes. I never knew that. That's interesting. But back to the Nazis and the treasure. So 1890, this was a crazy story. This young priest of René Le Château, so he ran this tiny little church in this village, which was consecrated to Mary in 1059, stood on Visigoth ruins dating back to the 6th century. Isn't that insane? Europe is so crazy. So his name was Francis Saunier, and he's in the Tom Hanks movie, right? So Saunier, he found genealogies dating back to 1244, and he took the discovery to his bishop. And this is where, I don't know if you guys have seen Da Vinci Code. You should watch it or read the book. It's very entertaining. The Priory of Sion was created. Now, the Priory of Sion was this group that kept the secret genealogy together. They knew the genealogy of Jesus. Mary had a child, according to them. And the Priory of Sion, they eventually became the Merovingian dynasty of France. And they were protecting the next, like, the offspring exists to this day in secret, and they protect that offspring. But they say, like, Isaac Newton, all these big wigs were all Priory of Sion members. Do I put credence in that? Very little, very little. But maybe. Dude, who am I? I don't know. I don't know, you know. I only know what I don't know what I don't know. So maybe. But Saunier, though, so he went to his bishop saying, like, look at what I freaking got. And he starts rubbing shoulders with all the elite of Paris. Like, his little tiny church of this tiny little village gets millions of dollars to renovate. He builds libraries, gardens, mansions, a huge round tower that he called, revering of Mary Magdalene. And then he also built a strange statue of a demon, Asmodeus, who is the custodian of secrets, the guardian of hidden treasure. Now, that's weird, right? Why is this priest building a statue of a demon who guards secrets and treasure? And according to Jake Legend, this demon began acting defiant of his bosses. He is, and his housekeeper, not the demon, Saunier, were seen digging around the church. I'll read that in a sec. I love your name, We Steal Plato Snakes. I don't know what that means, but Marina Abramovic. Oh, it's all I gotta keep going. I'm gonna read this though. Thank you, dude. So they're seen digging around the castle, this church, I mean. And if he was pissed off, if the elites, the Vatican, they still supported this guy, even if he had this secret knowledge. If they wanted to, they would have just killed him. So clearly they feared him enough to not kill him. Like, he had something. They didn't know what he had. They didn't know who he told. They kept him alive. They just kept giving him money. Regardless, Saunier dies suddenly, as all men in conflict with the Catholic Church do, in 1917. And the priest that heard his confession was shaking and refused to give him last rites because whatever he told him. Oh, you don't need to say sorry, dude. Stop. I love people that comment and give me awesome things that I don't know. So I'm going to read it. But the housekeeper sold the villa, and she said she would tell a secret that would make anyone who knew wealthy and powerful. She lived a long, healthy life. No, she suddenly died. And the priory claimed that Saunier and his housekeeper had found the records that proved the survival of the Frank Merovingian dynasty, descendants of Jesus, and the Solomon's treasure. Wow, a lot of stuff found, right? That's what the priory claims. So Ron told this fascinating story to Himmler. I thought it was fascinating, so I could see why these guys who love the occult thought it was fascinating. And he thought he knew where it was. But as I said, he died, and Himmler, being obsessed with the occult, didn't want to give up. So he sent Otto Scarinzi, the 6'4", gunslinging, Mussolini-saving soldier. So 1944, Scarinzi HQ was in the Cathar Fortress because the Nazis were controlling France. He discovered this 3,000-step stairway, which led from the castle into the valley below. He found this secret path with a fortified entrance. It was the last refuge of the Cathars. And near this crest, they found a grotto, and in this cavern, the treasure. Crazy, right? But this is even crazier. So Scarinzi sends a one-world telegram back to Berlin. Eureka, I have found it. Signed Scar. That was his nickname, which is a badass nickname. Scar. Wow. I love it. The response that he got back from, well done. Watch the sky. Tomorrow at noon, await our arrival. And March 16th was a very special day to the Cathar people. They said they had this prophecy that at the end of 700 years, the laurel will be green once more. That's the prophecy. And the worshipers were on the mountain. So they have this day. The Nazis say, okay, you can come do your little parade or whatever. And they're worshiping on the mountain, the same area where Scarinzi had been told to watch the sky at noon. 12 noon comes along, and Himmler sent this airplane to Skyrite to produce a huge Celtic cross over the sky of the location. And these people making this pilgrimage believed the prophecy had come true. Again, the laurel will be green once more. And a big green cross, is Celtic cross, is drawn in the sky. Pretty weird, right? Conspiracy or just a coincidence? Supposedly the treasure was carried out, moved to another location in an extensive tunnel system that the Nazis systematically blew up at the end of the war. That I could believe. And we're going to get to why they did find something. There is proof that they found at least something. So who are we to say? Absolutely. I can't say is We Steals Plato Snakes. We're going to come up with a nickname for you, dude. But he said Templars worship Baphomet. I totally agree. Whether it's like Baphomet or Baal or whoever, they interacted with the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians, that's why you have the pillars of Freemasonry. That was all their female goddess worship. They definitely brought that back. They worked extensively with the Phoenicians. But the Nazis blew up the treasure tunnel, and supposedly that was end. But Colonel Buchner, this guy, a colonel, obviously, he claimed that there was gold coins back to the Roman Empire, gold plates, the Ark of the Covenant, stone tablets, pre-runic inscriptions, emerald cups, gold plaques, ancient script language, and tons of gems and gold. And most of the treasure was melted down, shipped into gold bars, and out of the country into the hands of the CIA, which definitely happened, as we did that episode about Japanese gold, how the CIA had literally billions, if not trillions of dollars, stolen gold from Japan. and that's not included in the Nazi gold. They have the rich people, the top guys, you know, bankers, all those, they've got fortresses of gold. I guarantee you. Now, this sounds insane. I get it, right? But this is where it gets even. This is where the proof comes in. Martin Bormann's wife was captured at a small hotel in Italy after the war. In her possession, 2,200 antique gold coins from Rome. 2,200. These coins are literally priceless, not just worth their weight in gold. They are from the Roman Empire, ancient Roman Empire. And this was part of Hitler's share of the treasure. His wife, of course, died of the common death of mercury poisoning at the bright old age of 46. It was estimated that the treasure was in excess of $60 billion. And like I just said, this is nothing new. Japanese gold. We did an awesome episode on that. Go check that out if you're interested. Okay, right. So the Nazis knew they were losing the war, and all the industrialists that helped fund Hitler to power were scramming like you shine a light on a cockroach. They're running. But they're brilliant. These guys are international bankers. And I saw someone got mad when I said when they were like brilliant or amazing. They are. They're totally evil, as smart as they are, but they are smart people. They're one step ahead of the public at all times. So Martin Bormann, he helped all these industrialists create shell companies to hide all of who owned what, moving to neutral countries like Argentina, Switzerland, blah, blah, blah. And all these corporate socialists who worked with our robber barons that didn't want Nazi Germany for the reason Hitler did, they just wanted a global empire where they could extract resources more and more. And these business guys loved Hitler more than they loved under Kaiser Wilhelm. So this wasn't about nationalism that they were funding Mustache Man. It wasn't about what he believed and they agreed with that. No, no. They, just like our robber barons of J.P. Morgan and John D. Rockefeller, they wanted a hold monopoly on whatever industry they were in. And that's what they did. And that they put Hitler into power. They had more monopoly ability under him than under Kaiser Wilhelm from World War I. You can enslave the populace in the name of progress and power, and no one stopped them. So bankers and everyone who was truly evil, they were able to, of course, keep their wealth because they never lose their wealth. They kept their power and they just had to move from Germany if they didn't already during the war. For example, IG Farben created 750 foreign companies, disguised their ownership, and these small countries were thrilled that they were bringing their industry there because he had all this capital. These places, I'm sure you guys know, but in the 40s, what we consider the third world countries, like, they were still farming, you know, surviving off their growing their own food. There was no industry. If there was, very small. Also, Bormann and all of his buddies, the bank, his industry buddies, they made large deposits in Citibank, Chase Bank, you know, those good American banks. Thank goodness, right? Bringing the cash back to America. My boy, we steal Plato's snakes, that Hitler slept with the Blavatsky book by his head. And I don't want to use the other word too much, but Rudolf Hess was having experimental powder put in his food, also debriefed by Crowley. Yeah, I talked about that a little bit last episode, that Hess and Crowley met up. There was a body double. It was a whole thing. But yeah, that was interesting about the Blavatsky thing. So even Germany's pharma companies escaped scot-free. Where do those pharmaceutical companies turn into? Huh? Where do they go? Oh, you know, just some names like Merck, Bayer, Schering-Plough. Schering-Plough got bought by Merck eventually. They enjoyed a monopoly in Germany. They had shipping, construction, electrical, everything that was used to build up Nazi Germany. No. If they're truly our enemies, you would let these people that armed this our evil, evil enemy, you let them go scot-free? They wouldn't be charged with anything for funding the war, for building the materials to use in war to kill American soldiers? They weren't. This is just planned. It's just a WWE. So Deutsche Bank, not, they were in charge of Nazi gold transactions. That was the end of it. No, Deutsche Bank still exists today. Much of the stolen loot was processed there, millions in gold. And the reason why they were able to deposit all this gold, in 1934, a law was passed that prohibited Swiss banks to know who deposited the money. And this was to protect German Jewish people from the Gestapo because they were taking their wealth. Well, the Nazis just used that to their advantage. So was it really that rule written like that to protect them? No, it was probably created by international bankers to say, we need a bank that can be protected from for secrecy so we don't get found out that we're robbing the public blind. And the bankers never got in trouble. But we have two names that also helped fund the rise. Both served on the board of Union Banking Corporation, George Herbert Walker, and his son-in-law, Prescott Bush, the father and grandfather of the Bush family, right? So the attorneys of UBC, of course, some other classic names, the Dulles brothers, John becoming Secretary of State, and obviously Allen becoming the longest director of the CIA, the creator of the CIA, we could say, both were original members of the CFR. Now, there's this law, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, called Trading with the Enemy Act. So they seize the shares of UBC because, you know, they are help funding our enemy in a war. Well, Bush, they also had the holdings in the Hamburg America ship line, which would bring Nazi propagandists and military weapons. UBC also had a subsidiary, Holland American Trading Company, which Fritz Thyssen helped fund and protect his funds with. Fritz was the steel maker of Germany. And this money also got to the founder of the Bilderberg Group, Prince Bernard of the Netherlands, who I said last episode was a board member of IG Farben. They are all linked. And I think you're right that Bush isn't his real last year. I've heard that before as well. So Thyssen's family secretly owned an entire chain of foreign banks. See, it was not, that's why like people that are like crazy actual Nazis, they think that like this was this utopia. And though the nationalism, that aspect was good, it was a farce. It was they are totally wrong. It was funded by Wall Street. It was funded by the elites. WWE. I don't know what, you'd have to go back much further looking for the most successful government. The leading shareholder of UBC that, you know, Bush has worked for, Roland Harriman, who was a mentor to Prescott Bush, and his brother Avril Harriman, who held ownership in UBC, was the ambassador to the Soviet Union. Now, he became Harriman before he was such a scumbag. He was the ambassador to the Soviet Union. He was giving them money. He was giving them technology because they couldn't do anything to help build them up. And then would come back to America and say, oh my God, the Soviets, they are building up their infrastructure. We got to step it up. Such a scumbag. But he became the governor of New York. Both Harrimans were skull and bones with Prescott Bush. What are the odds? And connected to the CFR. Also, he was an advisor to, you know, LBJ, Lyndon Johnson, another lovely president. Now, this wasn't the only company managed by Prescott and father-in-law George Herbert Walker. This company was actually a front company to get coal to the Nazis, our worst enemy. Oh, good. So they were helping get coal. These relationships continued with Nazi Germany, the trading of coal and fraudulent moving of assets and things until 1951. Brown Brothers Harriman is the oldest privately owned bank. They had their assets seized. Do you think they kept the assets? Do you think the State Department then took their money, threw them in jail? No one got in trouble. And this event never exposed by the media at that time. And that shows you how close, even in the 40s, the media was with international bankers. They go hand in hand. They own the media, just like today. People back then just didn't have the internet to get other opinions. Also, the trial transcript, this was huge. Oh my God, this fact is insane. So the trial transcripts of Prescott Bush for Trading with the Enemies Act from 1942, you don't want to know what happened to those trial transcripts. Huh. Oh, you want to look at him? You know what happened on this day, 9/11/2001. There was a Tower 7, which was one of the second building to ever collapse in known history from furniture fire. First one being, or I guess the first two being the Twin Towers. Well, the Tower 7 housed the offices of the SEC in that building. So SEC that day lost 7,000 prosecution files, including files on Enron. Sorry, guys, we can't look at national tragedy. It took those transcripts. Just trust us. We didn't convict him because he didn't know he was trading with the Nazis or whatever excuse they use. Standard Oil, like I said, helped fund the Nazis during the war, shipping oil to Spain, where Franco had funds unblocked by the Federal Reserve. This is a concerted, cooperative, synergistic effort. It is not done by two people. It is done by all of them, Important to remember, this was so disgusting. So the Standard Oil is shipping oil to our enemy, helping kill American soldiers. In that time in America, Americans had gasoline restrictions. They had to make sacrifices for the greater good while oil was going to kill our soldiers. Can you believe that? I mean, I know you can believe it, but that, dude, how disgusting. New York Times did some journalism for once in their life, and they asked Standard Oil, what are you doing? Why are you shipping oil to Spain for our enemy? And the spokesman of the U.S. Secretary of State said, You have it wrong, public. The oil's not coming from America. The oil is coming from the Caribbean. Oh, okay. So it's not technically American oil because it's coming from the Caribbean. And also Standard Oil early on in the war before they changed their registration fleet from America to Panama. I'm sure that was because they wanted to help the people of Panama have jobs. There was no other reason by that. James Forrestal, guy who jumped out of a window, he helped get that oil where it needed to go. What a real American. Probably why he was thrown out of a window, because he knew so much. And I saw We Steal Plato Snakes talk about the rat lines. The Nazis had nukes. They had amazing rockets, possibly flying saucers, cutting edge stuff. These guys are needed in the USA. How are you going to keep your military industrial complex running without this technology? So the top dogs worked out deals, escaped to South America, like Mengele and Eichmann, to help Bormann's escape. Oh, we talked about this. Yeah. To help Bormann's escape, they did a press conference. They said two Berlin workmen uncovered two skeletons. One of them is Bormann. And I told you how the results were off the memory of a dentist who had Bormann as a patient, who the dentist was also a Nazi. So I trust him. Totally trust him. The German government removed rewards and warrants and bounties for Bormann's arrest since he died. Guys, he's dead. How, we can't give you a reward for finding him. He's dead. Stop looking. Bormann did escape. He got into Spain in a monastery. In 69, the monastery, they kept track of the people that came come in and stay. Well, Nazi hunters found him. They went to the monastery. The moment they're like in the monastery, what happens? The book, it burned in a fire. See this smoke? Evidence, it burned. We have no evidence. He was never here. Many top Nazis. I talked to like a lot about the Catholic Church all the time, but they took a deal. They let National Socialism rise as long as the Catholic Church was going to become the main religion of Europe. Many top Nazis escaped with passports issued by the Catholic Church. Why did the U.S. allow Nazis to go to South America? Well. Do you think we let them because why would we let them go? Well, Rockefeller and others at this time were currently raping and pillaging South America of its natural resources, enslaving the populaces of Guatemala, all these places. And well, they need somebody to train the peasants down there. Who better than the Nazi top dogs to train them? Can't send Americans down there. That'll look pretty bad. But if we secretly send top Nazi commanders or whatever, generals. Hey, we had no idea they escaped there. Oh, they're training civilians to be fighters? Oh my God, we had no idea. Well, they're a sovereign country. We can't go down there. And I've talked lots and lots and lots about Reinhard Gehlen in the last few episodes. And Gehlen, for anybody who doesn't know, he was a spy leader of the Nazi Reich. Hitler and Gehlen ended up hating each other by the end of the war. Gehlen tried to kill him, but he has all these files on the Soviets buried in the woods. So he buries them there. Then him and his men, they go to the Brits. They say, I got all this info on the Soviets. They're going to be your real enemy. I'll give it to you. Let us go. Brit said no. But America, baby, capitalism, wheel and dealing. It's not the grades you make. It is the hands you shake. And they said, hell yeah, we'll take that deal. Alan Dulles said, hell yeah. So Gehlen said, let's set up some ground rules. This was insane. We will work jointly with the American intelligence CIA, but not subordinate to. We operate exclusively under German leadership. If any time there's a conflict of interest, Gehlen and his boys would act in German interest first. Dulles said, amazing deal. Take it. Done. Signed, sealed, delivered. I got it. He flew his boys to meet General Eisenhower and a few bankers because they're important in foreign policy. Gehlen also helped sell the evil Soviets and their evil empire wanting to take over the world for Alan Dulles to continue the war in the military-industrial complex. So what else can make this story even better? Even better, NATO, which started in 1949, and Gehlen said, let's team up. Let's team up. So NATO's intelligence organization was Gehlen's intelligence organization, all getting funded by you and me, not us, but our American tax dollars, the CIA, Alan Dulles. Gehlen flooded the American intelligence with authentic, quote unquote, documents. And could you back those claims up? Could you investigate those claims? No. You took his word for it, and you can bet your bottom dollar that they were all about how the Soviets were coming to attack America, and Dulles loved it, thrived on it. That is his, he wanted to be a super spy, and that's how you need a war to be a super spy. So Gehlen grew his group from 350 men after the war to 4,000 ex-Nazi spies all working for him. In 79, he became a member of the Knight of Malta and got a banquet thrown in the United States. Wow. Wow. What an amazing American hero. Amazing American hero. Another connection for the Nazi globalists and bankers was another awesome organization called Interpol. I'm sure you guys have heard of Interpol. Well, Interpol was created in 1924, and it was functioned as an intelligence group, an enforcement arm of the Gestapo, headed by Nazi war criminals. Wonderful, wonderful. The U.S. joined in 1938 with their supposed enemies. But let's go to the records, right? Let's go to the primary sources to see if Interpol were really Nazis, who they had working. Damn it, we can't. They got destroyed in an Allied bombing. Of course, duh. Just take her word for it. There were there were no Nazis running it. Really, the documents ended up in France in 1945. Interpol was reestablished after a year down of out of commission. How was it started up again? Well, a lovely organization in the United States, FBI, Hoover, he sidestepped the State Department because they said, do not get involved with Interpol. And he said, he went to this meeting in Brussels to talk about it. Now, why would J. Edgar Hoover be interested in Interpol files from 1923 to 1938 or 40, whenever, 44, I guess? Well, Interpol, acting as its own spy agency, had blackmail on every business, political, foreign war criminals. That's pretty handy for J. Edgar Hoover, who has blackmail on him dressing up as a woman. So Interpol, NATO, just our enemies running it. Not that I'm not saying today, but right. That makes sense. They're evil. They are all run by the globalists. Just disgusting. So now Project Paperclip. We all know Project Paperclip. How did the American public accept this, right? These were propagandized forever. The evil Huns and the Japanese, the same thing. We put them in camps. We despise them. How would the American public be okay with giving scientists to America? Well, Herbert Hoover promised, I promise American public, no Nazis or militaristic people would be coming, just innocent German refugees. Guys, not Nazis. No, no, no. Yeah, he's a young man that would probably be in the military. No, he wasn't. He wasn't. He was hiding the whole war under in his basement. But they were innocent. Werner von Braun, 700 rocket scientists. We don't know how they got in America, but they're here. Let's use them. Let's use them. Just so you know, though, Paperclip ran until 1973. So for 30 years. I can't do math right now. In 1952, you have Eisenhower and Dulles brothers in power. John Foster was the Republican replacement for Avril Harriman as Secretary of State. Oh, I'm sure their beliefs, totally opposite ends of the spectrum. You know, railroad magnate, millionaire of the time, powerful, and John Foster Dulles, I'm sure they totally disagreed on everything. Just like our Republicans and Democrats today. They're polar opposite, right? They're polar opposite. And I was trying to wink for anybody listening. And like I said earlier, Harriman and Dulles, the Dulleses were Harriman's lawyers and business partners behind the whole of funding of Nazi Germany. Birds of a feather, right? Birds of a feather flock together. In 1947, Dulles, oh, this was an interesting fact. 1947, Dulles had a translator who would eventually become the Secretary of State. Does anybody want to guess who Alan Dulles's translator was that was going to become the Secretary of State? Henry Kissinger, a lovely, growing young man who became an American hero. That was Dulles's translator during the war. So basically the CIA would change records. This is literally embarrassing. This is how I know, like, our government is so inept. They barely hang on. That's why they fight, they silence, all these things. So the CIA, they would get these records and from, like, you know, normal military guys in Germany would write ardent Nazi if they were a Nazi. Well, what did the CIA do to bring them over to America? They would squeeze in not ardent Nazi. Like, this is embarrassing, right? They would just write not in front of ardent Nazi. It reminds me of like changing grades in school, you know, like trying to make that F into an A. But anyway, Truman never thought this rule was ever even broken. I don't know if that's true. But this alone states how much power the CIA already had grown out of control within a year of beginning. And it wasn't only the U.S. government hiring these ardent Nazis and just wasn't, you know, it was also colleges, defense contractors. So why would they do that? Do they love Nazis? No. Well, as many things go boil down to in life, money. They could pay the German scientists significantly less, around $2,000 less, which was decent money back then. Maybe that would, with our horrible inflation and the Federal Reserve printing trillions of dollars, maybe that would be like $20,000 today, maybe even more than that. Also, German scientists, of course, the just ineptitude of the American government, they were able to get security clearances easier than their American scientist counterparts. Why? Because they got here through the CIA. By 57, 60 companies hire paperclip people. Even to add more disgustingness to this, who paid for them? Who paid for them at the state universities? Who paid for them when they were working for the government as scientists? You and I, again, American taxpayers footed the bill for getting German scientists out and paying for them when they worked at certain government jobs. Also, this was during a time American engineers, this is another sad thing. The war's over. American engineers, American aircraft industry people were being laid off because the war was over and they were hiring the German scientists to replace them. People are out of work. They can't support their family. They're using foreigners who were our enemy to take their job. just, it's like enough to make a man go crazy, I tell you. In 1957, Russians sent up Sputnik. Now we want, we say, you got any more of those Nazi scientists? And now are some going to be, so, you know, we're begging for more Nazi scientists. Yes, Dulles had a lot to do with the Venus Project. So in 1957, the director of the JIOA, I forget what that stands. It's an American, it's in a government bureaucracy thingy, which helped run Paperclip, was busted. The director of this was huge in Paperclip that helped fudge the files. He was a mole. Colonel William Henry Whalen. Why was he rad? Why was he selling secrets to the Soviets? As always, degeneracy. He was a gambler, an alcoholic, and the Soviets capitalized on his weakness. I always say this, degeneracy bring issues. So the director of the guy running Paperclip was a mole for the Soviet Union. Now, why is this bad? First of all, he gave top secret nuclear secrets and anything the Soviets wanted, of course. So he helped run Paperclip. He brought 1,600 specialists, hundreds of other recruits. They all went through him to get into the United States and to you know, get out of Nazi Germany. So that sucks, because now who else did he get under his spy ring? Who did he else say, hey, yo, I got a great deal here. You want to make some extra cash? They have no loyalty to us. What's it to them? What's it to them? They're not like, oh, thank you, America, for saving me. No, they're pretty much being forced. I'm sure many wanted to come, but they're being forced to come here to work for us. And the guy getting them in is a freaking mole. He got 15 years after he got caught, served 6, still had like a government pension. The Nazi spies for the Soviets were many. They weren't monitored. Oh, I wonder who was in charge of telling, the CIA and the JIOA that you didn't have to monitor these Nazi scientists. After 4 months, zero contact was made with them again. They were regular people, regular citizens. Some of these Nazi scientists had mail drop boxes in Texas, passing coded letters to their buddies in Soviet Russia. Some would randomly get mail with cash in it. Oh, that happens to me all the time. So that's not that weird. I always get random envelopes with cash in my mailbox. Many were sending maps and other info overseas, ignored. CIA knew about it. Oh, it's fine. So why would they let them do that? And one third of the scientists were buying brand new expensive cars. Wasn't the first these scientists sold cash for info, but they were doing it when they were still in Nazi Germany. So to continue this pattern, the German, now Russian scientists were also communicating with the American Germans as well. So these tops, I'm sorry, my cat is scratching the wall. I'm going to throw water on him if he doesn't stop. His name's Loki, if you guys can see him. He's bad. He's very bad. All right, so what does this mean? These scientists are all communicating with each other. In Russia and in America, the top dogs. Well, what if they're communicating to that they're all working under the same like umbrella? You know, let's say like three scientists in America, and it was much larger than that, but three scientists in Russia, they have direct ties to Dulles International Banking. They're communicating with each other. They're either saying, slow down, this is what we found. They're helping build the space race by getting both on equal footing. What if it was also like a combined space race to encourage massive government spending? The massive government spending would fund black ops, black op projects, trying to connect with demons and create this dichotomy of commies versus capital, free market. For 10 weeks, the Americans had info that gave the Russians their start in the space race. Like we had it 10 weeks before they did. And so this flow of info back and forth, it's kind of reminds me of like secret societies. There's this inner group like Freemasons. A lot of our grandparents in that generation, like my, this old guy, he's like 92, that Liv Allen and I help move stuff for him. And he likes books. He was a Freemason. So I always like, but I know this guy wasn't evil, right? This was like a normal group for people. if you can still be in it today, totally disgusting, especially if you're in the conspiracy world. Wink, wink, somebody I'm talking about. But that's just like what these scientists were. Maybe the most of them, they just were doing their work. They just wanted to go home with their family. But a few of them, they were huge into Satan worship, occult mad scientist stuff, getting unlimited funding at behest of their globalist leaders, like really dark ops stuff. And the Soviets were way ahead of us in the space race. In 1957, they shot Gagarin into space, and they seemed like way ahead of the Americans. And eventually the Americans caught up, but they actually started out way further in the beginning. And then they just stopped working while the Russians caught up. So this adds credence to the idea that it was planned, that we needed to be on equal footing to continue unlimited spending. Von Braun literally got direct orders from Washington to stop developing the rocket, the same rocket that the Soviets then used to put Gagarin up in the space, supposedly. I mean, like, scientists were literally just chilling, duping their superiors and colleagues, you know, playing Galaga while they're supposedly doing work. And another crossover point, Michael MK often has crossover with NASA and the occult. Totally agree. NASA is heavily involved in the mind control, and they founded the TLC network. This is how Michael Aquino came to power. Yeah, all of that. And Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard. Exactly, dude. Exactly. And we're going to get right into this NASA part here. So they probably had a crossover also with the British Interplanetary Society. Von Braun was a member. Arthur C. Clarke was a member. He claimed this group was in existence since prior to World War II. The Soviet embassy in London would get 20 copies of the British Interplanetary Society journal every week or every month. So you could see how if you're running a super secret, dark, occult arts group with government funding, this you can communicate a few different ways here. And Eisenhower, worried that the Russians were winning the war or were winning the space race, he made everything super need to know because he suspected that information was getting out. So now he compartmentalized even more. You would think that's a good thing, but now you can hide everything because only the key people are need to know. And that's what they do today, right? Compartmentalization of different factions and groups. They don't know that they're part of a larger plot to make us devil worshiping and degenerates doing things that man-made horrors, the whole nine yards. You get it. And I don't want to get lost in the weeds here. Jim Mars, he brings up stuff that I don't like agree with, and I kind of pick and shoot. But in the 80s, I used to love this story, but in the 80s, there was a secret group called the Majestic 12, names like Rockefeller, Dulles, Bundy, Forrestal. They were all part of this UFO secret group. And since I've already told you my opinion on aliens is that they're demons, they exist. Demons exist. People assume they're aliens. They're multidimensional. I don't want to sound like Alex Jones, but they're multidimensional. And the leaked documents are true. MJ-12 could be the ones who were all focusing on funding this to communicate even more with demons. It also points out how the U.S. government continued the Nazi technology like Die Glock, which possibly was like a time traveling type of thing. Maybe it helped you get into other dimensions.
Documents, white papers.
I'm trying to think.
The globalists are coming for us.
That's my best.
We've got the documents.
That's the only ones I got. They're pathetic. I know. They're bad. But he does have amazing voice. That guttural, deep, masculine voice is impressive. My voice is like a little girl's compared to Alex Jones's voice. But what's up, Josh? Nice to see you, dude. So it also points out the U.S. government continued on. Oh, I just said that. And these advanced technologies would be good for the private sector. So you get all this technology. It's all being taken, like, oh, take that out. And this is how you maintain the goal of the corporate monopolies, the corporate socialism, because you slowly release that technology. If this technology gets out too fast, someone is able to make a better one, you would lose your monopoly. Well, they can't have that. And just like every story, that anybody that had a better idea at some point, they would either be bought out, like the guy who had a hydrogen-powered car, he dies suddenly. You guys get it. Now, this was huge. All right. Richard Hoagland, this guy, he worked for CBS. He worked with Walter Cronkite.
When the news just told the news, as a boomer would say.
Worked with Cronkite during the Apollo missions. Richard Hoagland, he was like the NASA guy for them. He realized at one point that, Josh, for you, I'll shout you out every day. But he said how the time and date of NASA space launches, including the Apollo moon missions, all coincide with astrological alignments of stars and planets. This isn't new. And I couldn't finish the book because I couldn't understand it. But DC and George Washington, the founding fathers, everything they did was mapped out via astrology. Like the day they placed the cornerstone on the west wing of the White House was matching up with Virgo and something in Saturn and blah, 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 blah. And they did this to a science. It was a science to them. And it was a secret science that only people at the top deserved to know. Well, NASA is launching everything at the same type of weird astronomically placed things, astrologically. So this ties again together NASA, scientific beliefs, and millennial-old occult beliefs that, and this, I think, blends together what, we're seeing today, blending science and demon worship, blurring the lines a little bit so these people don't know they're worshiping demons or Lucifer, but they're worshiping, they're giving energy to this new religion that's being created, science, right? All hail Fauci, trust them. Worship them. Oh, he's so amazing. You know, they've replaced God and they put a human scientist on Neil deGrasse Tyson, right? The original NASA logo before the accident had Osiris symbolism. It had the stars in the logo that was the Osiris, like the Orion's belt, which represented, I guess, like Osiris, Isis, and whoever. But after the accident, they changed the they added a few more random stars in the logo. The supposed day that we quote unquote landed on the moon was in the exact location, time within the minute when Sirius, the brightest, and Isis and Osiris and Horus stars were hovering above the horizon at precisely 19.5 degrees elevation. And I don't know what the hell that means. Yes, Joss, exactly. But Richard Hoagland, the guy who was, like I said, he worked for CBS. He's like, he's like a scientist. He's working for, he made all these claims. So clearly there's significance to this. And he said in the book, the odds that they landed in the exact location on the moon at this time, on this day, were 1 in a billion. Like it was planned, just like how we set up DC, planned to a T. And that's what they did too. Well, I guess that was only NASA, right? No, the Russian space program did the exact same thing. And I'll end this chapter with a quote. Nick Rockefeller, the end goal is to get everybody chipped, to control the whole society, to have bankers and elite control the world. All right, we're almost done, kind of, but we got even more crazy stuff. So I hope you're enjoying it. Mind control, baby. Woo! Oh, this is a good chapter here. So Churchill, I think I'd said a quote last time about Churchill. He said that the Nazis were trying to steal wealth from the oligarchs that controlled the world, and we couldn't have that, or the globalists that control the world, and we can't have that. Churchill was a disgusting pig of a human. But so he was insistent that the Nazi occult worship never be told to the public. It was never brought at Nuremberg, and they had tons of evidence of their doing these crazy ceremonies and rituals. Why didn't they bring it up? Because in the Western public eye at this time, the Americans, we would have literally thought these people were freaking insane if we heard how they were, you know, doing Jack Parson like rituals with blood and magic and all that stuff. And Hitler's National Socialism was not just a political movement. It was a religious movement. The determination, this is what he said was his goal. This was his quote.
It is more than a religion. It is the determination to create a new man. That was Hitler's quote. Now, what does that remind you of? To create a new man. Oh, I'm sure that means nothing. And like I said earlier, much of the mysticism came from Theosophy, which then broke up into the OTO and the Golden Dawn. I got in a little Twitter beef with Micah Stank, but he's a Freemason. All of his stuff, Jordan Maxwell, they're Theosophists. This is all the same stuff. It's the same ancient religion. So to try and lie to us and say, no, you got it wrong. Really? Well, the company that has been in these groups definitely aren't good people. So I'm going to say that that's the wrong side. And yeah, and I would have plenty of evidence to back that up. All of these groups deal with raising human consciousness, AKA the Great Awakening. So we all see this term, the Great Awakening, in our conspiracy world. And I agree, people are waking up, but the Great Awakening is definitely a new age concept that Hitler was trying to do, that Blavatsky was trying to do. They were trying to create a new man, the awoken man that has this access to these demons. In their mind, they were like gods, but that's what aliens in their mind, maybe. But that's what that's why when QAnon was all about like the Great Awakening, in my mind, that's saying something. You think it's good, but it's not good, right? Right. All right. Pressy asked about Tesla connections. I don't know that, but oh, you guys are talking. Keep talking, dude. I love it. I love that you guys are talking in the chat. Josh, dark to light. Exactly. So the Vril. Oh, the Vril. I always see that on right-wing bodybuilding Twitter, but the Vril started with this guy, Carl Haushofer. And I talked about him last episode. He was this mystic that met both Hess and Hitler in the beer rooms, the beer halls. And was a member of the Vril Society, which practiced telepathy, telekinesis, channeling other entities. I'm sure that's solid. This was another theory of why and how the Nazis were so far ahead technologically compared to the world. And this isn't crazy. Like this, it sounds insane. It sounds insane, but it's not, because the Nazi occultists who we brought over taught the CIA and a unique psychic spy group that was created within the army. So clearly we took it serious enough to create a spy group in the army. Psychiatry was created in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Tons of wild thoughts. Would be wild today, I guess, as well. But following this, the psychiatry produced like the racial hygiene laws and became popular, obviously, in Nazi Germany, and became even more popular, well, just as popular in America with families like the Bushes and the Rockefellers. Now, these eugenic groups, who were they funded by? Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, et cetera, et cetera. And who at that time was making huge strides in the pharmaceutical medical world? Also, birth control. It sounds harmless. Everyone, many people are on birth control. Probably not good for your hormones. I got Liv Allen off of, we stopped taking them because it can't be good for the human body. I wouldn't want to be taking that every day. So why would I expect her to do that? But this was created by the eugenics at the top, the Rockefeller Foundation. I did an episode, which I loved, and go check it out, on Rockefeller Medicine Men. That's the book. You can learn all about, or get that book and read it. You can learn all about how Rockefeller vice gripped the medical world. And it wasn't just psychiatry that was brought over here from Nazi Germany and occultism. Another great science was brought over here as well. So let's see what science that is. Maybe someone has a guess. So guys, you have aluminum oxide. It's extracted from two chemicals. Then you put it with another chemical and you get aluminum. Aluminum's great. I love cans. I love aluminum everything. I love it. Whatever else you use aluminum for, I can't think of anything. But anyway, so aluminum, big, right? We love aluminum. But there's a byproduct that comes off of aluminum. It's often used as rat poison. It's been shown to cause Alzheimer's, lower IQ, docility, and a boatload of other issues. Does anyone know what that is? Of course, it's fluoride. Of course, what's in our drinking water? Carl guessed it. Of course, it's in our water. Reagan, oh, that amazing conservative, that guy that fought for a free market, man. Well, he doubled what the regulation was of safe, of the level of F-ride in public water in 1986. So he can't be that bad. Reagan's such an amazing conservative president, right? He fights for us, for free market capitalism. He literally doubled. It was like 2 to 1 million parts or whatever, raised it to 4. The Nazis, they like fluoride as well. They put it in their concentration camps to keep everyone pacified. Fluoride, huh? What else is fluoride in? Oh my God. There's this drug called Prozac. I don't know if any of you heard of Prozac. 94% of Prozac is fluoride. 94%. So if it works for that, you can imagine it's going to work on the populace when they're drinking it every day and way more than should be like ever drank, you know, consumed. 94%. So you see this connection. You give Rockefeller creation drugs to the populace, keep them docile. You, if they won't take it, you put it in their water, keep them docile, et cetera, et cetera. You put it in their food, in their toothpaste. Everybody brushes their teeth. They're getting it. They're getting their daily dose, baby. Now, who made this decision? Oh, this was even crazier part. So who made this decision that, hey, the Nazis used it in their war camps or their concentration camps? I think it's a great idea. Who made this decision? Guys, stop questioning. Trust the experts. It's Oscar Ewing. Oscar, who is that, you may ask? Well, Oscar, guys, come on. He's an expert. He was a Wall Street attorney, a former counsel, the lead attorney for the Aluminum Company of America. Trust him, guys. He works around aluminum. He knows it's safe. He's appointed by Truman to become in charge of U.S. Public Health Service, Education, Social Security Administration. And he said it was cool. He said, guys, y'all worrying. Forget about it. Just to note, though, West Germany, after the war, banned it. Sweden banned it. The Netherlands banned it. All banned the adding of fluoride to water. So not only pacifying the people in that way, let's also start a drug revolution, which we were, you know, dosing for mind control. We're still in the mind control chapter. I got a little sidetracked, but let's just dose them with acid. Carl talks about this, the drug revolution. I did a show with Carl Hassel. He's in the chat, but they, as we all know, MK Ultra, they torture them with LSD deprivation tanks for 30 days at a time. They would literally bombard you with ungodly amounts of LSD. One test also that was brought to America from Nazi Germany was how to change brown-eyed children to blue-eyed students at residential schools. I think that was in Canada. Who else did that? Oh, you know, Mengele. And then in MKUltra, you also had famous Dr. Cameron, the torturer himself. The same guy, he tortured psych patients in psych wards. He also was the same man that Dulles brought to examine the possible double-bodied Hess. And we talked about that last episode. Hess, big occultist, goes to meet the royal family in Scotland, right by Crowley's house, by Loch Ness. He supposedly gets caught there and they take him in. But at that same time, the younger brother of King George dies in a plane crash that same day, going to supposedly to rally the troops. And I believe like one of the Nordic countries or Iceland, I forget where he was going, but they were meeting because they were both into the cult. They both were globalists. They both, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, we could really find out how deep MK Ultra went, but Gottlieb, the huge MK Ultra scientist, Gottlieb, I don't know how to say that name. He was a chemical guy, made all these chemical compounds, heart attack guns, blowfish toxins, all his creations. He accidentally destroyed 95% of the files. Guys, it was an accident. Does it happen a few times? Yes, it does. But I trust him. Call me crazy. I trust the guy. Business as usual. The Nazis had a government corporate monopoly enterprise backed by the government. Huh. Those stupid Nazis. No free market. That's what we have exactly today. Exactly today. The bankers worked together. IG Farben was never touched. It was barely bombed. This was the place that was making all of these things to help fight the war. And we wouldn't bomb it? Why? Unless we're being instructed not to. Unless we want to keep these rich bankers, they're all working together and allow their wealth to remain untouched. And so this is my meme that I talked about, that I posted about. He's probably, you know, the girl. He started thinking about other women, and I wrote, why would Wall Street fund Hitler's rise to power to only remove him a few years later? One of the ideas is that Hitler had, he served his role. Possibly that got too big for his britches, but he also had a tax plan. He believed in his cause, whatever that means, but he had plans to attack the United States. And we talked about that last episode. They had nukes. Those were the nukes that we got. The Manhattan Project was unsuccessful. They were successful. And he wanted to bomb America, New York City. Well, the bankers couldn't have their new base destroyed. So they got to lose the war now. It's time. They wanted to continue the war for a little bit longer. It was time to end it. And they got rid of them. Europe needed Germany's industrial base. It was a sad stay in Europe, right? World War I devastated Europe. World War II devastated Europe. It was just it was horrible. So how do you fix that? Money, baby. Marshall Plan. Who's paying for that? Oh, you know who. You know who. You don't even need to ask. American taxpayers, of course. We love helping other countries. We didn't want to fix that bridge in Pittsburgh. But you bet your bottom dollar, we will give you at least $10 million. If you just got to pay a little bit in my politician's foundation, but we'll get you cash. Yeah, that bridge, no one died. See, it's not that bad. Another Rockefeller scheme paid for by the American taxpayers, the Marshall Plan. Interest accrued, that's, you know, how the bankers make money, by usury. Did that go back to the American taxpayer? Did we get that cash back? No, they got the profit. Chase maintained financial connections with Nazis through the war, as did many others. In 1951, and this is how they're setting up the one world government. Step by step, we're setting up the one world government. In 1951, Schuman Declaration. What is that? Well, the free market capitalist countries of Europe, they agreed that they would share their coal and steel production to, quote unquote, help prevent another war. That's not why. That's not why. It's corporate socialism. The goal of our elites is a one world government where the only difference with socialism that they don't like is that the state is in charge. They want corporate socialism where the corporations are in charge. And can you get them in trouble? No, because the government provides the violence and the defense of these corporations to rape and pillage resources and enslave us in debt and tricking us into thinking we need the next new iPhone, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, all right. We're almost done here, I think. Let me see. Page of my own. Oh, yeah. We got like three more pages. We'll go quick, though. Hopefully, I like this app. I told you it was like kind of a fun episode. So Kennedy and the Nazis. You know, so CFRs, Bilderberg, Skull and Bones, all names that come into play when working with the Nazis or our supposed enemies. They're always ties, right? So JFK, for some reason, he's like a truther favorite. And I've heard both sides. I know my buddy Don Jeffries loves the Kennedys. And then I've heard like Corbett Report talk negatively about him. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know enough about Kennedy. But regardless, he was a ladies' man. He was a womanizer. Degeneracy is never good. And he starts hooking up while he's in Germany. He's working for naval intelligence at the time. So that's one point against Kennedy. But he's hooking up with a Nazi spy. He didn't know she was a spy, but she would then meet up with Hitler and Goring and meet JFK at night, go tell their things. And since he's naval intelligence, he's probably pillow talking like a little B-I-T-C-H. And Kennedy, as you know, threatened to end the CIA supposedly and withdraw from Vietnam. According to Jim Nahr, 63, Jim Mars, and this would be amazing if true, Kennedy wanted to print $4.2 billion in U.S. notes issued through the Treasury, not through the Federal Reserve, so that we wouldn't have to pay interest back to the Fed. And if that's true, then he was an amazing guy, and that's why they killed him. Isn't that just so sad, guys? Like, our government could literally print our money. They would loan it to people, no interest. We could, we need to fix a bridge. The American government creates the money. They go fix the bridge, the taxes or whatever, pay it back. But no, we use international bankers and we to print and take care of all this. It's just disgusting, dude. But all conspiracies really do go back to like the JFK assassination. Oswald had close associates with Ruth Spine, CIA. She got on the job at the Book Depository. Her husband worked at Bell Aerospace, where paperclip Nazi Walter Dornberger was vice president. And also that she worked that Ruth Spine and the Bell Aerospace, the Bell guys, they had like an occult group. They were channeling demons as well. I forget who was, it was one of the, like the Bell, like the Arthur Bell, but I can't remember. That's in, if you want to read more about that, go to, Tom DeLonge's buddy, Peter Lavenda, who now I have no respect for him, but he talks a lot about that. Quote from Jack Ruby, a whole new form of government is going to take over our country. I know I won't live to see it. Yeah. As you know, Dulles, of course, was in charge of the Kennedy investigation, Kennedy recently fired Dulles. All right, I don't want to get into JFK too much. So LBJ now is in office. He's surrounded by his quote-unquote wise men, also known as the CFR. Very wise. Yeah, they're just like the biblical wise men, right? So similar. So CFR, intelligence, Morgan, Rockefeller interests, were working as a seamless working machine. From 1945 to 2003, the U.S. has toppled 40 foreign nations, crushed 30 populist movements, killing millions, condemning millions to horrible lives, all paid for by American taxpayers. And I wanted to bring up populist movements because I don't know enough about like Fidel and all these other like labeled communists. All I know is that they did this in Guatemala. They labeled that guy who was just trying to get United Fruit Company out as a communist. They did it in Afghanistan when they reinstalled Iran or Iraq, they reinstalled the king because the new guy that got power, he wanted to stop. He still wanted to sell the oil, but he wanted to nationalize the oil industry to help raise up people out of poverty. I mean, there are 30 times we've done this to somebody where we've labeled them a communist by Alan Dulles and his CIA Mockingbird Media, when really they weren't a communist. They were a populist movement trying to better and they had nationalistic tendencies. So I got to learn more about these people, but it's just so important. That's such a key thing. We don't dislike communism. We love communism. We funded the Soviets. We dislike populism and nationalism. And I talk about that all the time, but for anybody new listening. In the early 1970s, the Trilateral Commission was created. Idea from Zbigniew Brzezinski, head of Russian studies at, of course, an Ivy League college, because why the hell not? He had the idea that national sovereignty is just no longer a viable concept, guys. Let's have a global government funded by a global taxation system. The stream is tremendous. Oh my God, Haram, I was reading what you, thank you so much. I was reading this and I kept seeing horrendous. And I was like, whoa, that was kind of mean. Who said that? But thank you, Haram. So nice. All right. Side note, two guys were trying to get Jimmy Carter assassinated. And it was from a guy named Raymond Lee Harvey and Osvaldo Ortiz. Now, don't be a conspiracy theorist, but that's pretty close to Lee Harvey Oswald. It's like a combination of his name. Reagan, of course, was a spokesman for my favorite fridge company, Screw GE, spokesman who helped arm the Nazis and Japanese. And I made the joke. I'm not going to make the joke again. Never mind. Screw GE. Reagan, a lot like Trump, was calling out the Bushes, was calling out the members of the CFR and Trilateral Commission, all while he's becoming trying to become president. He's saying, you're corrupt, you're international bankers, blah, blah, blah. Just like Trump, an actor just like Trump, calling out the elite, lighting that fire of populism and nationalism, because we know something's wrong. We know they're too wealthy. We know they're corrupt. And he's calling all of it out. Well, does he do anything about it? Well, he gets an attempted assassination. It was from Hinckley. Hinckley, of course, was friends with this just a totally random Texas oil man named George H.W. Bush. Longtime friends. Hinckley was not guilty, of course, by reason of insanity. Problem, reaction, solution. Patsy takes blame. There's a second gunman, always, that never comes to light. Ascendance of power. Bush, essentially, that neutered Reagan. Bush was president then. Reagan was talking. Yep, he got pharma immunity as well, Jesse. Reagan's not our guy. No one's our guy. Maybe JFK. I don't know. But in the May 80s, Americas were still okay economically. We're not as bad as we are now. And some up-and-coming congressmen, they're trying to change our world. They're trying to change America for the better. You know who that is? Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, great guy. Great daughter. Oh, wonderful congressman. He was a Ford's chief of staff, director of the CFR. Pretty good resume. Okay. He was working with a guy named, you might not have heard this guy's name before, Donald Rumsfeld. Yeah, that's who he was working with. He was Ford's Secretary of Defense. Rumsfeld, now this man is a hardworking, this is huge. This is a huge part of the story. Donald Rumsfeld, hardworking businessman, working at a company called Searle. Searle was hard at work, creating something called NutraSweet. Equal and Metamucil. Now, you see that. That is, we'll get to it. You know what that is. Both men would go missing for 3 to 4 days at a time, unreachable. Where would they go? They were planning succession plans in case of a nuclear attack. And the idea that kind of like a national emergency, they decided that if a huge catastrophic attack happened in America, it's going to take too long to find all the Congress people. It's going to take too long. So it'd be easier to just get rid of the Constitution and just have a dictatorship, which Jesse just brought up when he said Reagan also expanded the powers of FEMA. This goes hand in hand with what Rumsfeld and Cheney were planning for a total collapse of the Constitution. Not that it's already collapsed, but totally gone. But I'm thankful they did it, because if anything horrible happens, I don't want to wait around. I want the government to save me. That's their job. So I'm glad they practice. The name of the new government would have been National Program Office. It actually has its own building in Washington in general. Secret budget of millions started under Reagan. Or actually, I think it was started under Ford. I don't know though. Regardless, Cheney and Rumsfeld worked on it. And I already talked about Prince Bernard creating Bilderberg Group, who worked with pre-war Hitler financing, Citibank, Morgan Guarantee Trust, Standard Oil, DuPont. In 91, screw the patriarchy. In 91, Bill Clinton was a Bilderberg guest. The next year, he won and ran for president. Wow. But Hillary, again, bring down the patriarchy. 97, first woman to go to Bilderberg. Boom. She was, after that, she was buds with co-chairman of Robert Rubin, co-chairman of Goldman Sachs, named to Clinton's National Economic Council. Good. Bankers know economy, guys. They are who we need to, and we steals. Yes, Bush set up Iran-Contra, that, you know, the October surprise to get back to, like, with the imam or whatever, the Colatini, you know, the leader of Iran or whatever, giving him money to, anyway. All right. So I think this is the last chapter. Since 1940, American scientists are government corporate-funded stooges. Oh, we're back. I didn't finish the Rumsfeld and Searle. Oh, okay. So our tax dollars keep the military-industrial complex running smooth. Hitler wasn't even as organized as how we are with this seamless cooperation between government and corporation. Like Germany built the first national highways, occupational health issues, restrict firearms, attack the use of alcohol and tobacco, pass laws for environment, wage war against cancer. Damn, maybe Joe Biden's Hitler? He's ending cancer. Hitler was doing it. He was trying to also. The Nazis had the most stringent gun laws in the world, or in the country or whatever. What are we doing now? You see. And I talked about Iraq and pharma working hand in hand. I told you how, this was IG Farben created an early sulfa drug and held the patent and held it secret for 30 years. It would save lives. They held it for 30 years until they worked out a distribution plan that would deal with global companies. 30 years they held on to this drug secret. All right, now back to aspartame. So like I said, Donald Rumsfeld, baby, is a hard worker at Searle. So aspartame, it's in this, right? I'm sure it's in Gatorade that I'm drinking because it's sugar-free. But it's an additive sugar found in diet sodas, more than 5,000 different foods, NutraSweet, Equal, all this stuff. Well, when heated to 86 degrees, it breaks down into formic acid and formaldehyde. Always good for the body. Always good. Formaldehyde a day keeps the doctor away. It causes increase in diabetes, birth defects, mental handicaps. They passed, FDA denied passing aspartame for years because it showed so many problems in the studies, especially when aspartame is heated. So big Donald Rum, my boy, CEO of Searle, conglomerate that makes aspartame. So like I said, 16 years, the FDA refused to approve it. They wanted the company indicted for fraud. The FDA did. Maybe they were honest then. But the statute, quote unquote, the statute of limitations ran up. You know who Searle's, Donald Rumsfeld's lawyers were? Sam Skinner and William Conlin. Skinner became the Secretary of Transportation under H.W. Bush. Clarence Thomas, he's an ultimate conservative. Oh, yeah. Well, he was a head attorney for Monsanto. Monsanto, of course, bought Searle in 1985. So it's still not approved. But Searle, they got faith, baby. They built a $9 million factory to produce NutraSweet, to produce aspartame. They had millions of dollars in inventory. This is a huge gamble, right? Right? Any saint, would you do this? If heroin's illegal, are you going to build a heroin factory for millions of dollars and hope that it becomes legal? Donald Rumsfeld did. The reward goes to the risk takers, guys. Okay. So he builds this huge factory, millions. The day after Reagan took office, he's appointed FDA commissioner who he approves aspartame. So there he goes. It works. FDA, though, then again, honest at this point, put on a board of scientists together and they revoked the approval. Well, a new FDA commissioner comes in, Arthur Hayes. So they revoked the approval from Donald, probably crying like, my factory, all of this poisonous sugar. Arthur Hayes, though, so the board at FDA said no, they revoked it. Well, a new guy gets put in, Arthur Hayes. He overturned that, my friends. What did he do after his work at the FDA? Well, he went to go work for a PR agency, getting paid millions of dollars, refused to talk about it ever again. Nice, nice. There was people wanted congressional hearings. People were getting sick. Senator Orrin Hatch refused and ignored to see the hearings. Hatch, of course, was being lobbied by Monsanto. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You want to study this yourself, maybe. Maybe some college kids, they should take a look at this. You know, somebody should find out the truth. At a college or university, you can't. You won't get any funding to study it. You also won't get published. So basically, no one will see your work. No one will fund your work if you even somehow figured out a way to study it. And this just isn't just NutraSweet. In the early 2000s, I'm going to try to be careful around the censors here. This book was written in 2006. In 7 years, the companies that make things that we take if we're sick lobbied $800 million to the government at federal and state level in the early 2000s. In 7 years, $800 million they paid politicians. Another 182 health products, devices paid another tons of million. No industry has spent more in lobbying. In 2004, advertising had grown from 791 million in 96. This is huge. To $3.8 billion in 2004. That is how much pharma companies spent on advertising. $3.8 billion. In 2002, the combined profit of 10, just 10 of the Fortune 500, which were drug companies, had $35.9 billion. And this is 2002. That was their profit. That was more profit than all of the other 490 other companies on the Fortune 500 list. 10. Oh, but I'm sure there's zero reason to be skeptical. There's zero reason to not trust. You guys are just over, you're looking too much into it. These facts mean nothing. When profits aren't matching, you're having a bad quarter. Well, that's okay. Cause you know what? This ill also helps you grow your hair back. It's a hair loss pill. Perfect. Let's sell it for that. That'll boost your quarterly revenue. Yeah. Okay. That's that. And I talked about this is just to finish this out. In 1980, this was a crazy fact too. In 1980, a new law was passed relaxing restrictions on pharma. It was called Bob Doyle Act. So this allowed universities and small businesses to patent discovered research from research underwritten by the NIH, which was a major distributor of taxpayer funded cash. So it allowed taxpayer financed discoveries formerly in the public domain to be privatized, sold to a private company. So you're funding a work that is then being bought by another company. So you could see how this would be abused. Say, okay, hey, professor, we put a little extra cash in your pocket. Could you work on studying this to see if you could find something that does this? And when you find the patent and when you find it works, you test it with taxpayer dollars. So we don't have to pay to test it. Then we'll buy it from you for a modest fee. Disgusting, right? That's infuriating. And it isn't just one-sided. Hillary Clinton she passed laws in New York to prevent insurers from charging higher rates to poor people. The insurance company contributed $200,000 to her campaign. Asbestos. You've seen the commercials. We all know asbestos is bad. It's poisonous. The Nazis knew about that they wrote papers, many papers on it since the 1930s. They were published. They documented the link. Well, we can't trust them, right? We can't trust them. Let's do it anyway. And we built it anyway. And you see how that worked. They banned Coca-Cola. And Mustache Man, he was anti-meat, anti-hunting, loved animals, big into the occult. So what's big these days? Tantric yoga, organic health foods, herbs, healing, plant-based diet, all which are encouraged by the knots, the occult worshiping Mustache Man and his fellows. So there's some connection here. There is a connection here. Last thing, then we're really done. National Socialism was a religion. It was not just a form of government. And when this book was written in 2006, politics were not yet the religious thing that they are today. Families ruined, communities ruined, all because of what newsstand all the boomer parent watches or what their beliefs are. It's so sad. So sad. And that's how it was there. They worshiped that man. What do we do today? Not we, you, us, we don't. But what do people, they cheat, they defend these people. They will go to bat for them in Twitter comments. They will fight with their family to defend Donald Trump. They'll fight to defend Joe Biden. They'll think you're an idiot if you don't think what they're being told by the news. And that was Nazi Germany. So we didn't hate the Nazi Germany. We worked with them, but the CIA, the international bankers, they're just pulling strings. The goal, one world government, one world religion, which is Luciferianism or whatever you want to call it. And that's it. So that's the show, guys. I hope you had fun. We had the most people listening than we ever had. So thank you. So if you're, while you're all here, before you leave, if you can go subscribe on YouTube, I'm trying to get to 1,000 listeners. If you can like and go follow me on all my socials, I'll put them in the show notes. Thank you everyone for coming here. I loved all these comments. We Steals Play-Doh Snakes. Thanks for keeping conversation alive in the show. I hope to see you here on all my shows, dude, because I'm going to read over these. And I saw you guys all talking. That's what I'm trying to create, like a little community of like-minded people that can talk and explore ideas. And I'm just so thankful you guys all joined the stream. So I'm Jack Allen. Follow me on Twitter at Kojak Podcast. If you want to support the show, I got Venmo. I got all my links, or you can DM me. I'm pretty good with answering. And again, I'm so honored that you guys came here. Thank you again, We Steals Play-Doh Snakes. Jesse, thanks for supporting the show. Susan, thank you. Pressy, always an honor. And Josh, if you're still here, but anyone else I missed, thanks, guys. Have a great day. We're going to, again, find God, find love, be a good neighbor, learn, and we can still win this. The boomers, the news generation is leaving. We are becoming the next one. If we can keep getting, Haram, thank you too. And if we can keep waking people up, our generation is in limbo, and we can get enough people to realize the corruption and how the scam that is the Democrat and Republican parties. All right, my friends, I'm out. We'll see you soon. Much love. Have a good night. Peace.